Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Our new city manager, or excuse me, county manager, Mike Bryant, must be sidelining as a magician. In his latest budget proposal, he cited a rising demand for services, slower revenue growth, and uncertainty in support from both the state and federal governments. And yet, his budget calls for no reduction in services and, wait for it, no property tax increase. At the same time, this $2.6 billion budget is $46.4 million more than the current fiscal year. So how did he do it? Well, a magician never reveals his secrets, but perhaps a county manager will. Mike Bryant is here for the hour, along with Adrian Cox, who is Mecklenburg County's budget director. Good morning, both of you, and welcome back.
Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having us here.
You're welcome. Mike, you undertook an organizational reset after you took over from a longtime and former county manager, Dina DiIorio. You reassessed how the county allocates resources and delivers services and defines efficiency. Is that how you were able to increase the total amount of the budget, but also maintain the current property tax rate and maintain the current level of services? Is that how you did it?
Yeah, Mike, in a nutshell, that is how I did it. First, let me say thank you again for having us this morning. And also, I want to commend you and WFAE for being such a great partner over the years. As you know, I've done this interview on an annual basis for quite some time in a different role. And I really appreciate you helping us get out the word as it relates to not only what we have in our budget each year, but just covering the county in general. I really appreciate that. In response to your question, it was certainly not a cakewalk. It wasn't easy. And the first approach I took was first to take a multi-year look at our budget. You know, when you're developing a budget, I don't believe you need to look at a fiscal year in isolation. You need to look at the prior years as well as the upcoming year as well. And when I did that, when I look back, going back to fiscal year 24, in fiscal year 24 and 26, I believe it is, Mecklenburg County raised taxes to the tune of a total of about 3.6 cents. And then also looking ahead, Mike, we have forecast the need for about 3 additional cents as well. That's a total of 6.6 cents in tax rate increases over a 6-year period. Now, that's both operating and capital. So anything that I would have recommended as it relates to a property tax rate increase for fiscal year 27 would have been in addition to that 6.6 cents. Now, let me be clear. Regarding the future fiscal years that's associated with our CIP, that 3 cents, 2 cents of it is associated with voter-approved debt, right? So we have to pay that. You may recall that the voters approved the bond referendum for CMS. So that is something that we will be passing in the coming years. But again, I wanted to keep in mind what we did in the prior years and what we are considering in the future years, in addition to the voter approved debt as well. So after looking at that, as part of my organizational reset plan, there were 2 elements that also contributed to this. One was a deep dive assessment on our budget. The entire $2.6 billion budget, we took a deep dive as a team to identify opportunities to leverage existing dollars to fund other expenses. And then also I put in place on the final leg of a new management framework, a balanced scorecard, to help guide some of these investments as well. And then lastly, I challenged my entire cabinet to rethink how we budget. You know, I've been part of this organization since 2003, Mike. Our budget process have served us so well, but I think it has run its course. And for 27, I asked my team to dig deep and identify ways for us to rethink how we budget. And the results resulted in about $38 million in totality as relates to funding that we have available to support other services for fiscal year 27. I'm so proud of that outcome.
So one of the things that you wanted to do was redefine efficiency. How do you define it now?
You know, redefining efficiency is pulling the different levers that we have. Is in addition to rethinking how we budget, it's identifying how can we provide services, have the same outcomes, but look at a more cost savings way of doing so. One example that comes to mind is, you know, some funding that we shifted regarding nonprofits. You know, the county has several nonprofits that extend our reach into the community, and they do an exceptional job. They're great partners. And we had an alternative funding stream to support them going into 27, and that is using our fund balance. So by shifting them over, it allowed us to free up some reoccurring dollars to make investments in other forms while still having a positive impact with the services that are provided by those partners in the community.
When you made your budget presentation to Mecklenburg County commissioners, you said that Mecklenburg County is at a crucial crossroads. I'm not sure what that means, but tell us what it means in your mind and how we got here, because that sounds serious.
Well, it's a pivotal moment for us because I could choose the traditional path, as most of my colleagues in this field, when it comes to responding to the increasing need that we have in Charlotte-Mecklenburg by raising taxes, or I can ask for grace, which I did from my board, to allow me to huddle up with my team to look at how we budget differently. And that's what I was able to do. And the results is avoiding a 2.24 cents tax rate increase as well. I can imagine, particularly when you think about the shortfall that we were anticipating in early January, about 30 million or so. We do have some growth, some natural growth to the tune of about 38 million. But after I fund schools, which I'm a huge supporter of CMS, I pay my employees, that growth is gone. So in order to fund other needs, such as the opening of our new library, which is scheduled for next spring, as well as making some other investments in affordable housing, workforce development, economic development, the old traditional way would require a property tax rate increase, as we've done the last 3 years. But again, I did not want to go down that path. And that's why I said I called for it being pivotal, so that hopefully the board will be supportive of what I presented to them.
This may confuse some people, because we know several hundred people allegedly move to this region every single day. They're not just moving to Mecklenburg County, but they're coming in every single day. But you're still facing these headwinds of slower revenue growth coupled with a rising demand for services. In a growing community, why is revenue declining? Isn't the tax base growing? Okay, Adrian, go ahead. You want to answer that? The tax base, it would seem, would be growing.
Yeah, so Mike, to be clear, we are seeing some revenue growth. It's just not growing as fast as it once was. You know, over the last 4 years, there's been a lot of retail spending, and that has helped us to bring in sales tax revenue. Interest rates were reasonably high, and that brought in some of our earnings on interest. But that has all kind of slowed down some. We've also seen fewer property transactions that come through that provide some recording fees as well. The other thing that I think is really important to understand about property tax specifically, which is our biggest revenue source, is that without any changes to the rate, property tax only grows when there's new construction. And when there's new construction, that means there's more people to serve. So property tax does not automatically increase with the cost of inflation or the cost of living here.
Let me add numbers behind Adrian's point. Over the last 4 years or so, we averaged growth to the tune of about $75 million. For fiscal year 27, we are forecasting growth to the tune of about $38 million for our general fund budget. So we have growth. To Adrian's point, it's just not keeping pace with yesterday. And that's why we had to make some adjustments in our budget, because although the growth is slowing down, the demand continues to increase, to your point, of 157 people moving to this region, with 82 of them actually anchoring into Charlotte-Mecklenburg. A subset of those numbers, of those individuals, certainly need services that are offered by Mecklenburg County. And we will continue to respond to the need as we always have.
The numbers that I saw, the county's revenue growth rate stands at 2.5%, which is decline from 4.7%. That's almost a 50%, maybe more than a 50% decline. That sounds significant. Is it?
It is. And that's the example I just cited. That percentage equates to the $75 million in the past in comparison to the $39 million that we are forecasting for next fiscal year. It is significant when you look at the full context of that. But again, $38, $39 million, although it's modest, it is still good growth. Just doesn't match yesterday.
I've asked this question of every single county manager I've talked to on this program over the last 29 years. So I'm going to ask you too.
Okay.
We keep being told that the growth is good, that we grow or we die. And every time we grow, it seems we have monetary problems because the need for services also rises with the growth rate. When does it pay? When does growth actually pay dividends? When does the growth start offsetting the costs of growth?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball to answer that, but
ever is the answer ever?
You said it. You're either growing or you're dying. And I prefer to continue to grow, to have smart growth. And this is where collaboration is so important. You know, in terms of collaboration with City Manager Marcus Jones, my colleagues in the towns as well, it's important that we are coordinating and collaborating when we're making decisions that have impact on this community as a whole that factors the growth. And that's what we've been doing.
In what area is the demand for services rising the quickest?
So I think it's kind of across the board when we think about the demand for services. We are seeing some increases in terms of the volume and the complexity with some of our health and human service. And so those are included in the budget. And of course, just in general, the cost of providing salaries for all of those county employees as the cost of living increases. We're also seeing increases as well through the courts and the jails.
Yeah, Adrian's right. I would say, you know, the health and human services growth is associated with the economy, the rise in terms of fuel and groceries and utilities. We're seeing it there. And then, of course, housing. You know, one of the things that I did when I was appointed manager was I created a new housing department to respond to that need as well. And all of that, as Adrian stated, falls in our health and human service portfolio.
Since we have these bifurcated municipal overseers, whether you're we have the city of Charlotte, we have Mecklenburg County, we have the town of Huntersville, we have the town of Davidson, we have the town of Matthews, etc. When we come back, because I don't think you have time to answer this question at this point, when we come back, talk about what it is the county does when we pay our property taxes and we pay our county property taxes. What is the county giving us in return? What are you responsible for as opposed to these other entities? We'll talk about that when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the British International School of Charlotte, offering an international curriculum and IB diploma program for high school students designed to help prepare them for college, careers, and a global community. BISCharlotte.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the county budget and the fact that there will be no cut in services, but more importantly to you, no increase in the county property tax this time around. We're talking about it with County Manager Mike Bryant and Mecklenburg County Budget Director Adrian Cox. I asked just before the break so that we can be clear, because the city of Charlotte provide certain services. If you live in Matthews, they provide certain services, and all the other surrounding towns, Pineville, Davidson, Huntersville, et cetera, Cornelius. What does the county provide? What are you responsible for? What are we getting for our Mecklenburg County property taxes?
Yeah, Mike, you know, that's a good question. And we certainly recognize that individuals often get the different municipalities and the county confused. I would summarize and define the services that we provide with the county as we're in the people business. You know, so we provide health and human services. Think about our social services. You think about public health. In addition to that, we fund education, Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. We also fund Central Piedmont Community College. We fund the jails as well. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if people didn't realize that we fund the park system. We have a really good park system throughout this entire county, one that we take pride in. And fortunately, you know, all of our residents in this community do not require financial assistance that's offered by Health and Human Services. However, everyone from all walks of life can enjoy our park and rec systems. Also, we fund the library as well. Really excited, again, about the new library that'll be opened up next year. So those are just some of the services that we offer up to this community regarding what you get for the taxes that you pay.
So, Adrian, as the budget director, I'm sure you're the person responsible for putting the numbers on the spreadsheet and figuring out how to deal with both the needs, wants, and desires of the county commission and residents of the county and what you have to work with. So talk about the process. When do you start working on a new budget for the next fiscal year? How do you match the needs and desires with the reality?
So we're actually working on the budget all the time. As soon as this budget is over, we begin working on the next one. We're trying to plan for the future. And I do have a team of analysts that help, and we work very closely with the departments as well as our partners. This year, as the manager mentioned, we redesigned our budget process. And so we pulled together, part of that redesign was pulling together the department directors within certain portfolios to see if there were opportunities for cross collaboration in ways that we might be able to rethink and do things differently, more efficiently. In terms of the process, once we start working with our board, that really picks up in January when we have our annual retreat. Where the board tells us kind of where their direction is, where their priority is, and then we incorporate that into the process going forward.
The budget is not what you want. It is not what Mike Bryant wants. These budgets are designed to provide funding for the priorities set by the county commission. So what are the primary goals of this budget?
So there are six board priorities. Economic development, education, environmental stewardship, health equity and wellness, services for seniors, and workforce development. And the budget provides significant funding to all of those priorities.
Mike.
And Mike, I want to hitch a ride on Adrian's response to your question about the actual process, because I would certainly be remiss if I do not give credit to my county commission. We actually started out back in October. And our board asked that we put together a budget retreat that was different. We flipped the script. Instead of routinely where staff is presenting on their topics of interest, their priorities, the board actually presented to us. So we had an opportunity to hear from each board member, all nine of them, their topics of interest. And that really set the tone for the fiscal year 27 budget, because I had a good understanding. I was able to peel the onion back and say, when it comes to senior services, when it comes to economic development, this is specifically what they're looking for. Instead of me having to kind of guess or make some assumptions, they had an opportunity in a formal setting to say, Mr. Manager, this is what we would like you to consider as you develop your budget in our priority areas.
Are these goals that they set, are they always realistic? I mean, do you have to sometimes come back with disappointing news, or do you try to give them everything they want, even if it means cutting someplace else?
Well, the reality is we're never able to give them everything they want. There's more need than dollars that we have available. They are real. They are what this board and I, as well as our entire team, believe is important to this community. Because when you think about the quality of life and how you improve the quality of life and the list of priorities that Adrian just shared with you, it's all connected. So when you're investing in those areas, when you're making strategic, critical decisions that impact those areas, you are going to yield positive results. The thing is, in some cases, it may take a long time. In other cases, we may realize some of the positive impacts in a quicker turnaround.
In your budget presentation to the commission, you said that, quote, the outcomes we seek require a high degree of collaboration. They require a cooperative ecosystem of services rooted in improving quality of life outcomes through interdependency and partnerships. Explain that.
So, you know, Mike, when I was appointed to this role on June 30th, what I said to the community as a whole is it is my goal and aspiration for Charlotte-Mecklenburg to be an international destination. Now, you think about international destination, again, that gets back to the quality of life. You know, that you have a thriving public education system, you have a strong workforce, you have a really good economic, a good economy as well. And with that vision, I recognize that Mecklenburg County cannot achieve it by itself. It requires extensive collaboration and partnership. So shortly after I assumed this role, I went on a community listening tour. To be frank, I think I held like 85 different meetings with other influencers and leaders in the community across all of Mecklenburg County. And at the conclusion of each one of those meetings, I asked them, would they be willing to partner with Mecklenburg County to improve the quality of life in this area? And they responded with a resounding yes. And that gave birth, Mike, to this quality of life collaborative that myself, City Manager Marcus Jones, and Superintendent Dr. Hill host. We've held two meetings and we have identified target areas that are actually aligned to my board priorities, as well as the balanced scorecard. And it's cross-sector. It's not just government. It's not just the city, the county, and CMS, but it's also inclusive of the private sector, nonprofits, philanthropic. It's 41 members in this collaborative. And I'm so pleased with the work that we're doing, and I cannot wait to bring it forward to our governing bodies and eventually the public as a whole. So that's what I mean from a collaborative, everybody coming together with one shared goal, and that is to improve the quality of life for our residents.
And of course, everything is not without its challenges, and I want to get into some of the headwinds that you are facing. There's uncertainty revolving around what's been happening or not happening at the state and the federal level. Let's start in Raleigh. We still don't have a state budget for the fiscal year. Yes, they got together last week and they announced that they had come to an agreement on breaking an impasse, but there's still no budget, and there may not be one because there may be other impasses in the coming weeks and months. What has this lack of a state budget meant for Mecklenburg and other counties as you try to navigate whatever you need to navigate in terms of money coming in?
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's a great question. It is pleasing to see that both the House and Senate have reached some agreement. However, we still don't have a budget, although it's promising. It's been, 2.5 years since we've had a state budget in place. So just imagine, to your point, all 100 county administrators trying to put together a budget and not having a clear understanding of what the state budget entails. Particularly it impacts our funding partners, the school systems, for example, the court systems as well. You have to make some assumptions regarding what the state or state may not do. And oftentimes you may have to even stand in and fund areas that are the responsibility of the state, which we do. In Mecklenburg County, we currently fund in fiscal year 26, $484 million of state services. And it's even more in fiscal year 27 if the board approved my recommended budget, because I'm increasing CMS by 25 million, yep. CPC by a little less than 2 million. So now we are exceeding $500 million in state services as well. And of that amount, 460 or so is associated with the school system. We fund 700 teachers. 700 teachers are funded here locally. So just imagine if the county was not in a position to fund education to the extent we are, we would lose up to 700 teachers. Dr. Hill has made that very clear when we've served on panels together, and she always expressed her appreciation for the partnership that she has with the county.
And, I would add, not just 700 locally funded teachers, but there is also over $100 million of supplements that the county is providing for all of those state employees at work.
Would you be providing those supplements if you were being funded fully by the state?
So those are supplements that go on top of the state salaries. Right. And so if the state was fully funding the schools and funding them in a way that would account for the cost of living here, then those supplements from local dollars would not necessarily be needed.
So to be clear, Mike, you told the commissioners that Mecklenburg County cannot alone bridge the service and opportunity gaps that continue to exist in our community. We cannot do all things. That's a quote. So do those gaps exist because of increasing need or because of cuts at the state and federal level or both?
It's a combination of both. I would say it's a combination of both. Again, whether it's cuts or unfunded mandates by the state, it all has an impact. And as I stated earlier, this county commission, as well as myself, we support public education, which is a huge percentage of this funding that we're picking up on behalf of the state. And I'm sure we'll continue to do so. However, if the state was to step up, that gives us funding options as it relates to funding areas that we are required to support. So you have there's a competition out the gate every time we prepare our budget, because CMS has a growing need, right? And then the county has a growing need as well to fund services that we are required to support. And understandably, our residents would like to see the county fund more, but there's an education component. Our residents need to understand who's required to fund what. And when it comes to public education, when it comes to the court systems, that is a requirement of the state of North Carolina. That's not a political statement. That's not a red or blue statement. Those are facts.
I know that business leaders have expressed some angst over the uncertainty caused by the on-again, off-again tariffs imposed by the Trump administration and some other things as well. And there have been cuts at the federal level. Among them, the county is facing, I am told, a $10 million reduction in revenue from cuts to federal funds for SNAP. That's the food stamp program. Does that mean that the county has to fill that gap? And can you fill that gap?
Well, the answer is no. And I see Adrian getting ready. He's ready to jump in here. We cannot supplant. We cannot afford to do that. As Adrian prepares to share with you his thoughts on that, I want to commend the community, because when we experienced that SNAP pause, folks came together. Our partners in the community showed up, and we were still able to provide needed resources to those recipients to ensure, to minimize the disruption resulting from that freeze on SNAP benefits.
And Mike, the manager's absolutely right. The county is not in a position to backfill federal funds. We're simply not of that size. As it relates to SNAP, in our budget, we do receive revenues in order to administer SNAP. And we are going to see a cut in those revenues, and that will cost us $10 million a year. And that's part of the cost that we had to account for in our budget.
What other cuts are coming from the federal government that you're having to fill the gap for?
So those we're monitoring. We have to get direction from the state on a lot of cases. So we're absolutely trying to pay attention to what happens with Medicaid and some of the other things that are out there, like air quality. So there's a lot of uncertainty around it.
So we're just skimming the top of the budget. We're not going to do a deep dive into numbers because it's hard to do on the radio. But the bottom line is that there'll be no decrease in services and there'll be no increase in the property tax this time around. But if we don't have a property tax increase this year, what do you anticipate for the coming years, and how certain are you that this property tax rate can be held?
Well, Mike, well, we're just trying to get through this period of uncertainty first. That's our priority, right? What I anticipate is a continuation of how I'm leading with this fiscal year 27 budget. I will continue to take a multi-year approach. Our board was supportive of my recommendation to pause our capital improvement plan, which allow us to reassess some of the projects that are currently funded or approved, because the cost of these projects has increased significantly, to your point, as it relates to tariffs. So this fiscal discipline, as I would categorize it, will continue as I serve in this capacity, and I think it will be beneficial to the community as a whole.
The county's facing a projected budget shortfall in the millions, but you say you're avoiding an increase in property taxes by reassessing spending and tapping into savings and money that would normally go toward paying down debt. Unpaid debt grows as interest accrues. Doesn't that make a future tax increase inevitable? And by taking this approach, might that increase be larger than it would have been? And I have about 30 seconds. Adrian.
So I want to be clear, our debt service fund is not just for paying debt. It also includes cash funded capital projects. So shifting a penny from the debt service fund to the general fund does not in any way impact any of our bond funded projects. But because we are taking a pause on our CIP, it allows us to evaluate those cash funded projects in the future.
So the biggest source of revenue for...
I'm sorry, Mike. I was just going to say this does not jeopardize our AAA bond rating.
We have to stop there. We have to stop, take a break. I'm sorry. Okay. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the county budget, the fact that there'll be no decrease in services, no increase in property taxes in Mecklenburg County, at least this year. Mike Bryant is the Mecklenburg County Manager. Adrian Cox is here. He's the Mecklenburg County Budget Director. We've talked about some of the headwinds you face, the greater need for services, which costs money, the desire to hold the line on property taxes, which you have accomplished, and yet you're also doing this while calling for 1.8% more in spending as compared to this year's current budget, or about $2.6 billion. Why spend more in this environment?
So, Mike, our budget will grow just about every year, just like any other organization. The budget is going to grow because of the cost. And so there is some regular increases to operate. There's also the cost of funding public employees. And then, as the manager mentioned, we did move some things in our budget, identified some savings in order to fund some of the priorities that we had.
So to be clear, the $2.6 billion that I just referred to is the total amount in the budget that you're proposing. 65%, if I'm correct about this, 65% of county revenues come from property taxes.
That's right.
There is a constitutional amendment being discussed in the General Assembly that would cap the property tax rate for local governments. It would limit how much counties and cities could increase the amount levied each year. And you and other municipal managers, Mike, have warned that that would hurt those entities' ability to maintain services. Talk about that.
Sure, Michael. Let me first say I commend the state for exploring ways to improve the affordability of residents staying in their homes. That is a shared goal by all of us. The concern I have with the option they're exploring and possibly putting a cap in place for property tax. And let me be also clear, we don't know if there is a cap, what that cap would be, right? So we're kind of talking in what ifs and assumptions. So I want to be clear on that. However, if there is a cap that is put in place that limits the flexibility that we as managers have to adjust the tax rate to respond to the growth, that is devastating to us. Because if that cap is put in place and I don't have that flexibility to absorb that cap and to respond to the growth, I'm going to have to make some tough decisions, such as looking at our partners like CMS, looking at other partners such as CPC, the court systems, the county alone, my health and human services departments, my park and rec department. We cannot absorb, if the cap that is put in place and it limits that flexibility, that I can't respond to growth. The reality is, what we would like to see, as I stated earlier, I'm funding over $500 million in state services. If the state would step up and fund these services, I could reduce tax rates by 17 cents out the gate. I can assure you that any cap that the state put in place would not exceed a 17 cent tax reduction. In other words, the tax rate is 49.27 cents. I could reduce it by 17 cents, going down to what, 32 cents? That puts more money in our residents' pockets. And even if you're not a homeowner, if you own a car, that would be beneficial for them as well. So in addition to them stepping up and funding their services, also looking at other programs that we have in place, looking at the limits for programs such as the Homestead Act or Circuit Breaker. These are programs that are geared towards giving tax relief to our residents, such as seniors, veterans, disabled individuals as well. My preference would be for them to first fund their obligations so that we can adjust our tax rate accordingly, and then also look at the limits associated with these programs.
Cabarrus County Republican Representative Brian Echeverria is focused on government efficiency in Raleigh. He's focused on oversight and reform. He's the vice chair of the Select Committee on Property Tax Reduction and Reform, and he has been pushing this amendment, and he appeared recently on a conservative podcast on X, North Carolina Political Tea, and he had this to say about what we've been discussing.
We're talking about our home. Most people, that's going to be the largest investment they ever make. And with that being the case, that's inheritance. That's the money they're going to use to pay for weddings. That's what they're going to retire on. It's not just a tax. This is about people's future in North Carolina. So when property taxes increase, the homeowners face that increase. If you're a young family, we know the seniors need help. But what about a young family whose escrow goes up by $200 a month?
How would you respond to that, Mike?
I don't disagree with in terms of the logic. Again, trying to put more money in the pockets of homeowners to ensure that they can stay in their home. But the facts are the facts. Again, I would say it's not a political statement. It's not a red or blue statement. If the state step in and fund their requirements for Mecklenburg County, that is a tax reduction of 16 to 17 cents instantly. Any cap that they're considering would not compare to that.
And you once said that you hope that when a voter is confronted with the prospect of voting for or against a constitutional amendment that would cap property tax increases, that they would not just look at that and say or think, gee, this is a way to save money, me, in my pocket. You would hope that they would understand that that limits services provided. How might the average voter experience that limit in services?
Well, again, we're saying what-if scenarios, right?
Right.
But if all
right.
this plays out and there's a cap in place and I have to make some tough decisions, I would say they could possibly feel it on the education side. They could possibly feel it on the park and rec side, our libraries. These are just tough decisions that I would have to consider bringing forward to our board that I hope don't come to fruition. Because to your point, on the ballot, if when voters see, hey, vote yes to reduce your taxes, of course, that's a no-brainer. Who would not vote for that? But the downstream impact, the lack of education, that's what's concerning to me.
Do you think that they believe, legislators believe, that they're doing a good thing, the right thing by taxpayers by considering this constitutional amendment, proposing it, even putting it on the ballot in November? Or is this smoke and mirrors? Is this, see, we saved you money, when in fact they're costing money?
I don't want to categorize this smoke and mirrors. Again, I'm looking at their intent, which I think their intent is good. And the interest. I just, as they factor their intent and what may come out of this legislation, I just think it's important that they understand the downstream impact. And if they really want to give some relief, they would consider the options I shared with you, revisiting these programs, looking at the eligibility limits, and certainly funding their obligations. It would benefit all of us.
There have been cuts. Go ahead, Adrian.
As I would add to that, when you talk about public services, you're talking about public places and people who do the work. So those teacher supplements that we talked about, social workers, paramedics, all of these public employees that live within Mecklenburg County. And of course, the cost of living is different in different counties throughout the state. So a statewide approach doesn't allow for local jurisdictions to address those local needs. And also from what we do know, a levy cap, and again, we haven't seen what the state is really proposing, but a levy cap doesn't solve for that problem that sometimes happens after a revaluation where somebody's property tax may go up, and that's because of a shift in the base. It's not because of the overall all tax.
There does seem to be a move, both in Raleigh and at the federal level, to shift more of the responsibility, the monetary responsibility, to the lower levels. The federal government shifting it to the state, the state shifting their help to the counties and the cities. That's one way, I guess, for them to change things around. But they're also doing it at the same time where they seem to be, have this penchant for finding ways to limit how the people they're putting the onus on to raise money to fund what they're telling them to do. Do you understand that?
I wish I did. I don't, Mike. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time. And my perspective is, over those years when the state decides to pass down their responsibilities or provide unfunded mandates to counties and municipalities, that it's in the mindset that we have the option to adjust taxes. And that's true. However, with this new legislation, that lever goes away. And 65% of my budget, $1.5 billion, is associated with that property tax. So yeah, in the past, we did have that option if we needed to, when they would push down unfunded mandates to adjust our tax rate. But now it's questionable whether or not we will still have that option. And if that is the result, then you have to make choices. And with each choice, there's a consequence.
So Mecklenburg County's total budget recommendation is for $2.6 billion. That figure represents $64.9 million increase overall and an increase of $33.8 million to education, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, and I guess CPCC. The budget recently adopted by CMS comes in at around $2.1 billion. Not too far from the county's budget. That budget represents a $25.1 million increase in what they're asking for from the county from the previous year. So help me understand all these numbers. How much in total are you recommending go to Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, Adrian?
So for CMS, for their ongoing operating cost, that's a $25 million increase. It is really a $31 million increase, but offset with funding that the county provided for state increases that didn't happen in 2026. So those are being credited back. It includes some state-driven salary and benefits for those supplements and those teachers that we're funding fully locally. Some supplement increases, as well as a little bit for operating new schools. There's also some one-time funding for student devices and for capital. Putting that together, that's $691 million going for operating. Add into that the capital and the one-time, that's $730 million going to CMS. And that is the highest expense in our budget.
I was going to say it has to be because it's close. It's not quite $1 billion, but it's getting up toward that figure. You're also recommending the county put $7.4 million toward new investments to help in the county's efforts to, quote, establish and maintain thriving communities. What do you mean by new investments? What are they?
So there's several new investments included in the budget. Some of those are related to jobs and the economy. We have a new initiative that we're doing through our economic development department that is called Project Boast. It's in response to the projects that are going to come on following the transit tax and really trying to help some of those small businesses and help businesses to take advantage. We have some housing initiatives. We also have a new behavioral health clinic that's opening up that the county is supporting and operating.
And Mike, there's a lot of investments I'm very proud of in this budget. And there's two that I'll call out. One is that we're raising the lowest wage in our organization to $25.53. That is a living wage for this community. I'm so proud of that for so many ways. One, our employees deserve it. Number two, Mecklenburg County has to be the example. As a partner and as new businesses come to our community and those that currently reside here, I can't ask them to pay their employees a living wage if we're not doing that ourselves. So I'm so pleased that we're able to fund that, and I hope my board will be supportive. And the other is regarding a partnership with the private sector regarding workforce development. In West Charlotte. The county owns a facility off of Betty's Ford Road in LaSalle, and we're partnering with a few agencies, one, to provide workforce development training, and then in addition to that, we will get some guaranteed slots for high-paying jobs for young adults, high school graduates that complete those sessions, and those jobs do not necessarily require a four-year or two-year degree. I'm really excited about that because one of the things we have done well over the years is train up individuals that participate in our programs, but the challenge has been placement. And not only just placement with a job, but a high-paying job. That changes in this budget, and I'm thrilled about that.
You're also proposing about $5.3 million in new funding for medical services, maintenance, juvenile housing, and overtime pay for the sheriff's department. Would this money help reopen that juvenile facility locally that was closed and moved out of Mecklenburg County several years ago?
It will not. You know, Mike, I give you a fun fact. Prior to me getting into local government, I actually used to serve as a juvenile court counselor. And that was a job I enjoyed. And I recognize the benefit of having a local detention center. However, with respect to that, to operate the detention center is the responsibility of the state. Now, we have some investments associated with that, but to provide it is $16 million, and those are just dollars that we do not have.
Well, no property tax increase, no decrease in services. That's the headline. That's the bottom line of this new budget for Mecklenburg County. Mike Bryant, Mecklenburg County Manager. Adrian Cox, Mecklenburg County Budget Director. We're out of time, but thank you both for the hour.
Hey, families, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. The producer is Chris Jones. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.